Okay, so just a few odds and ends to clean up here in Chadash and / Yashan, and then moving on. So last week we did the issue of Sveik Sveika. We touched on the issue of Mutav Shayu Shogin. That's sort of Rishonim are sort of at this place of, okay, we're not gonna go too much to publicize it. Now it's a little unclear what exactly are they not going to publicize. I mean, the whole chumrah, or it sounds like what the Rush at least was talking about was specifically those years when we're concerned that the sun that it wasn't warm enough to plant anything before Pesach. So then we should go around and tell people that we're not that you're not able to eat that year. So either way, he didn't even seem to go for that. He seemed to say, all right, but you know, no one's going to listen anyways, so we're going to keep it quiet. Now, we just had the same Rush, actually. We talked about this on Shabbos, right? That the same Rush has a different tshuva where he talks about the... or he's beside himself that people aren't writing prizvels and that they're not makbid on Shemitah's Ksafim and things like that. And he sort of like sighs, and that we did pick up on. That has become something that is... that is well observed in the Orthodox community today, but Chadash still has not yet picked on, and there's still it's still being argued about. There's still sort of struggle as to figure out what the reason is for that. Let's close the door here. I mean, something that we did, and just is just the reality. Like, the issue of Chadash and Yashan is really the issue surrounding summer wheat, right? That's what we've gone with. I mean, during time of the time of Tanakh, the time of the Gemara, at least where they were living, so it really wasn't an issue. It wasn't. It was a little bit of an issue in that things started to grow, and people might start harvesting right around Pesach time. But it's the Omer for a reason. It's the Rishis Kitziar Tzachem. It's the beginning of your cut. And then you understand the message of, yeah, so the beginning of the cut we're going to offer as a korban, and hold off on eating everything else until that korban's brought. Like, that's something that we can, in a way, we can get behind. Well, I've always been curious about what happens if, like, during years of famine and there's really no wheat around, so what do you do for Pesach? I mean, you can't get wheat, like, you have all this wheat for the next year, and it doesn't become Yashan until the second day of Pesach. That means that, like, what is there any significance to the fact that Pesach needs to be the previous year's wheat as opposed to the next year's wheat? Right? But I don't know. Anyways, it only became an issue in when people started moving to colder lands and there started being summer planting seasons. And once there's a summer planting season, so then you have the stuff for this wheat growing starting to grow around in August, September, and then you essentially have it sitting around doing nothing for 6 months, right? Is that like really the ideal? Is that the idea that it meant? Or maybe it's just like, yeah, that's the halacha, and guess what? You know, mitzvahs are more fit better in Eretz Yisrael than it does in Chutz La'aretz, and like that's just the reality of Galus. Or maybe there's something else there. I mean, that's sort of what I've been struggling with as we've been going through these sugyas here.
Places where it's reversed, when you go down to the other hemisphere, Australia.
Right. So, what is the planting seasons there? So,
probably exactly the opposite.
The one planting people would have exactly the opposite. The two planting people, the two wheat places, which seems to be the same, I would think. But yeah.
So, is Israel a 1 week place or a 2 week place?
So Israel is a one week is once. There's one planting season in Israel. That's everything's built around that. It doesn't rain during the summer, so they can't. Right. So if things switch nowadays, I'm not sure, but I'm not sure how much wheat is really grown in Israel. My impression is that there's not much wheat. That even, as much as it's one of the Shivaminim, there's not so much of it being grown in Eretz Yisrael today. That's my impression.
Probably comes from Ukraine.
Yeah, maybe, or it used to. I don't know. So there are a couple of just details here that's really just based on the Gemara. So Siv Dalet here in the Torah is really quoting from the Gemara, but the Torah says Tavuah Shenizra Achar HaOmer VeKatzra VeZara UVeShasa Omer Haisa Tachas HaKarka. So what do you do here? You it was planted to a shenizra achar haomer v'kitzara. It was planted, whatever, and then you cut it vizara, and then you replanted it. So you cut some off and then replanted it uvishasa omer haisa tachas akarka. This acher, I think it might be kodem.
Where are you now in the tour?
I was in the tour.
In Dalad. First page. Oh, I see. Okay.
So where's the bottom? So if you have wheat that is planted after the omer, so the prisha here explains she'ein la heter ad shana haba. There's no heter until the next year. But the katsura, so then you cut it vizara, and then you seed it. Right, uvishasa omer haisa tachas akarka. So it was entirely under the ground at the time of the omer, meaning it's supposed to be growing. It sounds like it already took root. I think this is the case. It already took root, and it's ready to go. But instead, you take it out, you cut it, and then you put it back under the ground beforehand. But it's stuff from the. It is really inherently things from the previous year. So v'shasa omer, it was under the ground. So what do we consider that wheat? It's like a full thing of wheat that you put under the ground when the omer comes and goes. And it hadn't yet taken root at that point. So like you buried erev Pesach. So mibai. So the question the Gemara has: im omer matira ki'ilu hayosim nechas b'kliyo lo. So is it considered to be that it's permitted as if it was put in a kli? Meaning if you take a piece of wheat and right, you're not supposed to cut it before Pesach, but let's say you did cut it before Pesach, and then you put it in a jar, or you put a thing and you put it in your basement. So your basement's on the ground, right? So would we say, oh, well, it's replanted, and no, it's in a clay, it's already considered as if it's out of the ground. But what if it's under the ground? So that's a question that the Gemara there has, and the Gemara leaves it as a teiku. If you look at the Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef says this is in both in Perek Hazav as well as in Menachos Rabbi Yishmael. So Menachos Rabbi Yishmael, that's the sugya of Chadash and Yashan. What's it doing in Hazav? I'll mention in a second. But Rashi explains, come on, disado bichta damyan visharinu omer dahada amran shim lo hishrishu asurim ad shiyavo haomer haba bigidulehen mayri odilma batlinhu agav ara v'chilakit lehu kigidulin damu. That do we say that if it didn't take root, it's usher until the next Omer comes along? Or do we say that no, that it just happens to be in the ground, but it's already considered as if it's grown because it has already grown over the course of that year? So the Gemara concludes by saying teku. So therefore our sugya is gonna say alright, so our Gemara is then going to say if we're going to say Safik Doraisa L'chumer, we would be Machmer on that. Now, what does this have to do with Perek Hazav? So Perek Hazav has to do with the issue with the halachos of Onas Mamon, that when you buy and sell something and it was off by more than 1/6 from the normal price. I think we've talked about this, came up during Hilchos Rivas. But this it was off by more than 1/6 than what is the standard market value. Not more than 1/6 of the profit, that's not an issue. It's of what the standard retail value is, so then the person could claim mekach tos. So the Gemara says, so this idea of being able to claim mekach tos, well, not mekach tos, he's able to claim ona, that's really what he's able to claim. Ona, that yeah, you're overcharging me.
Gouging.
Right, you're price gouging. Exactly, right. So you're price gouging me. So you could claim that and you could have it be nullified. So the Gemara comments that that only applies to metaltal and not to karka. It only applies to movable objects, not to the ground. So what about if a guy buys a field and he's told that it's planted with stuff? It's planted with these types of wheat already. So the Gemara wants to know, is that wheat considered to be metaltalin, just buried in the ground? Or is it considered in the karka because it's something that's growing? So the Gemara there leaves it the same way with a teiku. I mean, they're mentioned one after another, which is why the Gemara is found in both Bamitzia as well as in Menachos. And then if you go to the next, so the Torah also has a question, Vesumi bai b'shiboles sheivia shlish kodama omer, that if you have some wheat that already grew a third before the omer, v'akra, and you uprooted it. So acha, and you uprooted it after the omer, v'chazar v'shasla, and then you put it back in. v'husifa, and it grew more. So imatosefes osir ha'ikr shehutar olo. So does that extra part, so now it's wheat that was planted after the omer, and now has grown some. So do we say that that amount of growth passels the whole stalk? Or do we say that no, that only that extra part is a problem, but whatever was there originally is there originally and it grew before the omer. So there the Gemara also lo ifshata v'luchum, right? So that's a ibayd lo ifshata, a question that the Gemara asked that doesn't conclude with an answer. So therefore, one would have to paskin luchumra on that. Okay. So that is the.
You said this case was when it took root after the omer. Is that what he's saying?
No, and then he took it off. No, he took it. It was in for, meaning he reaped, it was in for the Omer. So it's not, it's Yashan. But then he takes and he plants it again. So whatever is now growing is stuff that was planted after the Omer. No, he did uproot it. He uprooted it and then replanted it. Okay, so. Okay, so that is okay. So that so Akan Hilchos Chadash. One issue that we just I was more interested in seeing if the issues of Davar Sheyeshlo Matirin involved with it, meaning it does become mutter eventually, so therefore it shouldn't be batel. So the halachos of it being batel didn't seem to come up very much over the course of the simon. Maybe it will come up someplace else in the near future. We'll see. Okay, anyways, so now, so moving on to Hilchos Orla. So on the sheets here, so you take a look at page 4. So Hilchos, the laws of Orla, and there's the laws of Orla, and then there's its close cousin, Netta Ravai, right? So Orla is the first 3 years, and Netta Ravai is the fourth year. So here they show up. These halachos show up in the middle of Parshas Kedoshim. So here I put that on page number 4. These are the pesukim. V'chitavo el ha'aretz, you're going to come to the land. So once again, does that mean that it's only in Eretz Yisrael, or does it mean that it's everywhere? Is that just the time, or is it only? Does it mean it's a mitzvah teluya ba'aretz? He says when you come into the land, unisat. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. We didn't see it in Shulchan Aruch. I did want to point out one thing in Shulchan Aruch before we move on to Orla. Sorry about that. And it wasn't the small thing. So that is on page 3. Page 3, right? Back up a page to Shulchan Aruch here. And there is this Taz that where he also jumps in and tries to defend the practices here. So it has it on the previous Ramah, but we didn't do it yet, so I wanted to take a look at that. So the so Mechabi here says in Dalet Tavua Shenizra Achar Omer V'Katzra V'Zara V'Shasa Omer Haizet Hachas HaKarka. So the time it was under the ground. V'lo Hidchila Adayin L'Sharsh, but it hasn't yet taken root. So in that case, it's going to be Aser, right? L'Maisa, we're going to Paskin, that it's going to be Aser. And that's the... And that's what the Shach points out, essentially what we've said so far. Similarly, Shibola Shevi Ashlish, it grew a third before the Omer, and then you uprooted it after the Omer, meaning so in theory it's Yashan. But then, V'chazar V'shasla, but then you rebury it, and it grows more. So what's the din of the... So what is then the din? So actually there we pass in that Tosefes is Oser, and the Iker is Hutter. That which grew is going to be Oser, but that which was there originally is going to be Mutter. Okay, I guess that was the question that the Gemara had. All right, how Lamaisa that is, don't know, but I'm sure it shows up in some Lundish, in some Lundish Asugyas about replanting and what's the status of that and... in vitro fertilization somehow could probably bring a rye or two from here or something like that. But if we take a look at the Taz here, so the Taz is going back on that top line where the Ramah had said, Aval ein lahoros lachirim makom shirov shtiyasan v'achilasan maminim elu. Right, we're not going to publicize this to others in places where most people have to eat and drink this stuff. Right, kimutav shayi shogin v'alyum mezid, but they're not going to give it up. So that itself already is somewhat of an argument to say that we should be more makbid on Yashan than they were in the old days, because our lives are not really dependent on it. One could live depending on where you live in the world. or you live in the United States, one could probably get by pretty decently. You know, there are people that are pretty makbid on Yashon, and they seem to be okay. So whether this is the premise of this heter just built off of, well, it's a real shasad chak, and otherwise people are going to have nothing to eat, or do we have the rights even more lenient off of that? So, unclear. But anyways, comes the Taz here. And the Taz says as follows. He says, Ein ze kedai milahatzil al she'enu roen chach me Yisrael kimat ruvam ein nishar. He's like, this isn't enough, right, to save you. Al she'enu, but we see that all these chach me Yisrael kimat, most of them, they're not makbid on chadash, right, b'shum shan any year. V'lo shayich lomar aleha mutav yushogim. What? Someone say something? Sorry. In the Taz here, right? It doesn't make sense to just say, "Oh, Mutav Shai Shogin, they're all Shogeg." He says they're all Tamei Chachamim. He says Ukvar Tarach Mori V'Chamosi B'Davrze. He says, and my father-in-law Mori V'Chamosi, my father-in-law has already worked very hard on this, right? Who's his father-in-law? The Taz's father-in-law was the Bach, right? So he's referring right to the Bach. The first shiur we gave, we talked about the Bach's big kula, where the Bach figured out that we don't really paskin like. I think like Rebbe Elazar against the Tanakama, but he says my father-in-law really worked on this to save people from this heter. Mitzad haYerushalmi, based on Yerushalmi, Shemisham Hochiach Ri Bal Hatosos Sheish Isra Filu Bishal Ove Kuchavim VaAchar Ze Nimshichu Kol Agdolim VaAmar Sheish Laf Perish Acher Al Yerushalmi Shaluk Divrei Ri VaAnu Ein Lanu Esek Bezer. We're not going to deal with this. I mean, his premise was based on there's Yerushalmi that perhaps paskins that if it's land that's owned by a non-Jew, so then there's more room to be makel. That was a suggestion that he had. His Ein Lanu Laharim Rosh Neged Kol HaPoskim. Right, I'm not going to go up against all of these poskim. It says, "Mikol makom nira lefi lefi anias daisi." Right, it appears to me though, "Lamit zchus hagun ala heter azeh." He says, "I want to give a different heter." This is a heter of the Taz. He says, "Dahach iser dechadish bechutz laaretz who plukta the tonight." Right, now, this is the first year. It's a mishnah in Maseches Kedushin. Alright, compare Kama de Kedushin, right? It's an argument in a Tanai Masechus Kedushin, the Tanakama de Masis and Sirle Chadash Ein Noeg Bechutzlaritz. That the Tanakama in that Gemara paskins that Chadash is only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutzlaritz, plus the Pasuk says, the Chsivbe Bechol Moshvo Sechem, Vahainu La'achar Yerusha. It means after, when it says wherever you live, it means after Yerusha Sa'aretz, V'Yeshiva. But doesn't mean outside of Israel, right? Dafka. Rebbe Eliezer, Sfirale, Chadash Noeg, Bechol Makom, De Moshvo Seichem. Bechol Makom, right? Wherever you live, meaning wherever you live in the entire world, Shatem Yoshim, wherever you're going to live, right? That's the Machlokas, right? What does it mean? Chadash is going to apply Bechol Moshvo Seichem, Machlokas, Tanakama, versus Rebbe Eliezer. Tanakama says only in Eretz Yisrael, Rebbe Eliezer says in Chutz Laretz. So, when generally speaking, when we have a Tanakama against Rebbe Eliezer, so how do we paskin there? So, the general Kali Apsak is to follow the Tanakama there, right? When you have a, really, it's the same as Shulchan Aruch, when you have a Stam and a Yesh, when you have a Stam Mishnah, and then there's somebody who argues, so probably 90% of the time, 95% of the time, even more, we paskin like the Stam Mishnah. I mean, that's the assumption that most people assumed like, and there's one Tana who's an outlier that the Mishnah is quoting. So in this case, if you were to just ask me this Mishnah, right, Tanakama versus Rebbe Elazar, we, in theory, should paskin like the Tanakama against Rebbe Elazar. Continues the Taz and says, he says, you know, Shatem Yoshi Mash, where are we here? He says also there's a machlokas tanoim about this. Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael sfirulei katanakama. Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Akiva paskins like Rabbi Elazar. Uvetshuvas harash kasav the Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva sfirulei karebi. And Rush explains how they both passed like Rabbi Elazar. Vehuto sofer the behed yamirin begemara amar abai man tanda the paligaled Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yishmael he fine meaning and really we well they line up as a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yishmael and there's a rush but he's based fine anyways skip that it says v'tzar chlom of Rabbi Akiva sfirulei karebi Elazar so it sounds like Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Elazar. He says, "V'teima al Beis Yosef shahatik tshuva zos." And he says, "I understand why the Beis Yosef quoted this rush, right? V'lo hirgish b'to sofer sheish b'klal ha'ola v'gemara lo ifsika hilchasa b'zev ha'yolanu lomer the halacha k'tanakama." The Rebbe Eliezer, the Yachid v'Rabim halacha k'Rabim. He says, but we should really paskin like the Tanakama. Like, why are all these people paskin like Rebbe Elazar? I mean, maybe it's based on some kind of misprint. The Yachid v'Rabim halacha k'Rabim. El de pasku arif v'arash k'Rebbe Elazar. Why? So why did they paskin like Rebbe Elazar? K'dematzin v'meseches orla stam mastis in kavase. He says, well, because there's a Mishnah in Meseches Orla that seems to imply that. And there's no machlokas there. So what are we saying? So what is the standard approach, as we did in the first year? There's a machlokas in the Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim. We would generally paskin like the Chachamim against Rebbe Elazar. But there's a Mishnah in Orla that seems to assume like Rebbe Elazar, that it applies all over the world, and therefore we're going to pass like Rebbe Elazar because there's a Mishnah that follows Rebbe Elazar. Okay? Comes the Taz and says, maybe we can ask a question on that. The Yachul Lius, the Maseches Orla Nishnis Kodel Maseches Kedushin. He says, why are you assuming that the Machlokas in Kedushin was taught before the Mishnah in Orla? Maybe the Mishnah in Orla was taught before the Mishnah in Kedushin. Right? There's a Mishnah in Orla that teaches Orla's Ischal and Chutz La'aretz, and then there's a Mishnah in Kedushin that actually, no, it's a Machlokas Tanayim. Right? Instead of saying it's a machlokas and then you have a stam, say it's a stam and then it's a machlokas. Umeila ein halacha kistam, and therefore we're not going to pasuk. Umeila ein halacha kistam, k'di'isa ba'goz al kama. Right? V'hayalanu lomar the halacha k'tana kama duhu rabin. I'm not sure why it says ein halacha kistam. Oh, meaning then the halacha is not going to be like the Stam Mishnah, where it doesn't quote a machlokas, as we see in Hagozel. V'hayelanu lomar, the halacha k'tana kama, that yes, it's true, the halacha is like the Tana kama, duhu rabin, right? And we should paskin against Rav Elazar. Elo de'ein ze baror ma nishna t'chila upasku l'chumra k'stama de'orla. V'im king yishlanu ladun v'lomar d'bindinos elu shehu shasad chak d'chayev shel adam talui b'shtiyah seichar, because this would be a nice quote to put in your into your man caves, right? Chayev shel adam talui b'shtiyah seichar. Right? Life is based on drinking beer. But, right, v'shibola shual k'day hu hatana kama lismoch ala b'shasad chak. So then we could rely on the tana kama shasad chak. Kevad lo ifsaka halacha b'feirish the gemara k'rebel yasbos. The gemara never really paskins that way straight up in the gemara. So that's the Taz's idea. Taz's idea is that we got it all wrong. Now it's a little tough for him to say he got it all wrong. I mean, he's going against all these Rishonim that didn't assume that way, and it's not like they didn't have the texts in front of them. They're working with the same texts, but Rebbe Elazar is coming along and saying, "Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Why don't it be the other way?" And he brings proofs from these. He brings a couple of rayas that we do that we rely on a single opinion, kedai b'shasav chak. He brings a couple of proofs that's the case that we follow. Now. We'll get back to the Taz in a second, but you just take a look. So that's his idea, that you have these different, this Mishnayos versus the other, versus another Mishnah, and that's the way we can assume. So comes the Nekudas HaKesef here. Oops. Left the door open. Hello, everybody. You can wave. So comes the, if you go to the left there by the Nekudas HaKesef, the Kunas HaKesef says, lo hoil klum. He said, no. He said, he's all wrong. He said, the Taz is all wrong. The Mavad Stam Masnisin d'Orla, because it's not just based on the fact that there is a Mishnah in Orla that doesn't have any machlokas. It's also the Maskana of a Beferish Gemara in Menachos. Right? Maskinim b'Menachos Perek Rebbe Yishmal, Daf, and it says on this page, Samach Dalet, but it's actually on Samach Ches. I don't know if anybody has a new Shulchan Aruch, right? So it's actually Daf Samach Ches. I wrote it in there, right? Amid Beis, the Rabbanon Devei Rav Ashi, Savri, Chadash B'chutzlar, it's the Oraisa. That the Gemara seems to say there, Beferish, that the Paskin Rav Ashi, saying that Chadash in Chutzlar is the Oraisa. V'su Isa Hasam, Amar Ravina, Amar Li Imavuch, Lo chazi achil chadash el beurcha de shivsar nagi tenisar v'savar chadash b'chutzar still raisa. In fact, we even have a story of Ravashi Ravina paskening that way and saying that, like, oh, my father was makpid on this. And it's koshish for sveika diyoma. That's what the sugya there is doing. He said, do you have to wait an extra day or for sveika diyoma, or can you come up a day short? And he says, and these other proofs that he's bringing that you only go, that b'shas achak you could rely on shita seyachid, right? So that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. He doesn't accept those as rayos either, and that's in the Kudas Akesev argues completely on this Taz. But nevertheless, the language of the Taz at the end is helpful. Okay, please. The Taz here at the end, about eight lines from the bottom, says as follows. It says, Va'poskim shelo chashu l'shasat chak b'zeh, deba'artzu shelhem ein zeh dacha kol ikri. It says, poskim that weren't choshesh for shasat chak, because in their lands, it wasn't such an emergency. They're in warm lands. Right? It would occur that there was nothing that had an Isser Chadosh. But in lands where it's cold, it's cold until Pesach time. So they certainly could be makel on this. Because the lives of people rely on this. Because their main thing is to drink beer. That's the main thing that they drink. He says, maybe it doesn't apply to them. Okay. So the Taz brings up that defense. He says, plus it's an emergency, you could rely on it. But again, that raises the question of Bizman Hazeh, how much of an emergency really is it? And I don't know, it's just like this topic that's just like left out there. It's hard to come up with great answers on it other than Klal Yisrael just decided that, you know, based on this, to maintain this kula and maintain the kula.
Always a kula.
Right. Yeah. So that is the Mimi. Is there not there's right? So they come with several heterim here over the time of learning here, but not too many are comfortable with it. How many are machmid today in Chutzlaretz? I don't know. I mean, generally, none of the kashrus agencies are fully machmid on it. If they say Yashan, they say Yashan. But other than that, they're not fully makbid on it. I remember when I took the Star K webinar a few years ago, so Rav Shalom Tendler, who's Rav Moshe Feinstein's great-grandson, of Rav Moshe, so he said that he always assumed that Rav Moshe was makel on it, but then he said he asked Rav Tendler about it, and Rav Tendler said, of course Rav Moshe was makbid on Chadash. What do you mean? So I don't know. That's sort of where I'm at on the matter. Sort of where many people have given stop their shirim on this, saying, you don't really know. but
Rav Moshe doesn't discuss Chadash?
I don't know. He does. I think we did have a tshuva about it, but just it doesn't. He was asking. I think we came across something that Rav Moshe wrote about it. But just because he himself was machmir doesn't mean that he was machmir for other people. He was answering shailas about it. But the question of, is it a worthwhile chumrah for a person to accept? So, well, yes. How many accepted it? So that I don't know. I don't know if Rav Shechter is machmir on Chadash. I don't know.
So the bakeries that keep, or whoever, these products that say they're Yashan, are they just like buying and then storing up huge amounts of
flour? No. So, well, it depends who. It depends whom. So if it's a smaller people might, they could. But the people, like the pretzel factory or the bagel shop, I mean, that would require a warehouse. They go through, I don't know how much. They go through a lot of wheat per day, so it's not shayach for them to be able to do so. There are a few suppliers that specialize in it. I have the number of someone in Lancaster who is a major, I think he's a shliach in Lancaster, and this is sort of his other job, is to be the chadash supplier for everybody.
So he's storing the wheat somehow. maybe an asylum.
And he's overseeing. He's overseeing the storing of the wheat. Right. Right. So, it's not him. I mean, he doesn't own a farm. He's worked, you know, he probably has some Amish guy that he became friends with and said, oh, I got a way to make some money. Let's do this. You know, let's go into, that's probably how it works.
Friends or business partner.
Right, both.
But that's the thing with the poppies over there. Poppies, we're not doing Chodesh anymore because we've run out.
Right, so then if you're subject to one supplier, so then you're stuck with one supplier. I mean, that's now a lot of the places are, for instance, like Maya's Meals, so she or Judah's Grill, both of them. I think they might even have the same pizza. No, they don't have the same pizza supplier. But they some get from Eretz Yisrael, in which case they're storehouses, and that's the way it's done. Or they or it's just a product, meaning it's not a. They're not buying. I mean, they're not in charge of getting their own wheat. That could get pretty expensive. But buying Yashan wheat is going to be expensive. If you buy from a Yashan bakery who's getting their own thing, so then the price might not necessarily be as different as you know, whatever. So like if you're buying pita, so then okay, so we'll buy Yashan pitas. Like that works. Yeah, that could work. Yeah.
You see, the biggest problem with Yashan these days is information. You don't have the information, you can't do it. My son and his daughter-in-law used to keep Yashan. I live in New York.
Right.
Now they're out of Vegas, and I'm assuming it because I don't think they have. What? They are doing it in Vegas? Oh, I'm corrected. They're still doing it in Vegas. My wife's in Vegas. Yeah. They don't do it. Okay.
Ah, okay.
So I guess they still have ways of getting information. They have some way of getting.
No, there is there is ways of getting information. Yeah. There's ways with the barcodes, and there's ways of figuring out by expiration dates, by product, and on the wheat itself. I meant to get some more details on this and go through the Yashan app. I just didn't have a chance to work it out myself. But there are ways. Certainly any commercial bag of flour has what's called the mill date on it. It's hidden a little bit because they follow the Julian calendar or something. Like they follow some other mechanism of figuring out the dates. But
they count the days of the year.
Right. Right, they're counting the days of the year, right. So it's the number, so it'll be like this number and before is okay, this number and after is a problem, but that's what they're doing. There are ways of figuring out from raw materials what the date is from the milling, and then there's by the barcodes, there's information that's collected about what wheat they're getting in these places. If they're under Hashkacha, they're able to get that, or based on the, or you can sometimes figure out based on the expiration date. I mean, the expiration date, if it's after a certain date, so then that means that they're already getting newer product. If it's an earlier date, that means that the product must be from an earlier time. The expiration date is based on what the raw materials are, not necessarily based on when it's made.
I have a more basic question, which probably I should have gotten already, which, does this only apply to wheat or to the other five species?
No, all five.
Okay.
All five species, okay. So, all right, so now Adkan, Hilchos, Chodesh, and Yashan. So now I'll take a look at these psukim here with regards to Orla and then just get a little bit in. So Orla is Lamaisa, meaning, it's the same similar question as to Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz. Orla is definitely Chal in Chutz La'aretz. It's just a question of why and on what level, meaning you can understand. The Gemara explicitly says that Orla is an issue in Chutz La'aretz. That's actually one of the major sugyas within Orla, is trying to figure out what this halacha is about it being chal and chutz la'aretz. It's a question whether that's a din derabanan or a din halacha moshe misinai. But we'll get to that down the road. But says the pasuk here, you're going to come to the land, you're going to plant trees to eat, vor lasem or laso es pirio. And you're going to cut off, I guess, its fruit. For 3 years, yelachem arilim lo yachel. For 3 years, they're going to be separate for you, and lo yachel, and therefore you can't eat it. Now, yachel is one of those terms that means an iser hana as well. So orla is not just aser b'achila; it's also aser b'hana. Okay. So then uvishana harivis, and the fourth yekol pirio. Kodesh hilulim l'Hashem. It's going to be Kodesh and then brought to Hashem. And then the fifth year, tochlu es pirio. And then the fifth year, you'll be able to eat the fruit. Lahusif lachem tivuaso. Ani Hashem elokeichem, to add on to its seeds. Va'ani Hashem, and I am Hashem. Fine. So those are the three psukim. So the first 3 years it's going to be Aser. The fourth year it's going to be Kadosh. And then the fifth year it's then going to be permissible. Now the major issues are, well, Kadosh is the din of net derivai. So is that still applicable b'zman hazeh at all? Meaning is that a mitzvah tulius ba'aretz thing? In which case maybe it's a din derabanan, or is that a orla based din? Right, so that's those are some of the issues that are revolving around this din of Orla. So what's the, is there a little bit we can continue on? So go back to page two, right? So that's where we begin Hilchos Orla. So the tour here says, I'll just get the tour in and then I gotta go. It says V'chitvuo shel El Haaretz Unatatem Kol Eitz Maichel Boros Sem Orla Soes Priyo Sholosh Shanim. That when you come to the quotes of the pasuk, right? Yelachem Arilim Lo Yechel. So Kol Nuteya Eitz Maichel Monelo Sholosh Shanim Meis Natiaso. So when you plant a tree, a food tree, so Monelo, you count 3 years from the time of its planting. Now it's not 3 years Meis Leis, as we're going to see. It's not the, oh, I planted it on July 1st, so 3 years from now, July 1st, it's okay. All right, that's one of the complicated aspects here. He says, "V'chol ha'perish yiyu bo toch shlosh shanim kulam asurim b'hana." Right, so all of the things then that grows within those 3 years is then going to be asur b'hana li'olam, forever. What does it mean li'olam? So li'olam is meaning even after 3 years have gone by, right? That the what does the prisha do there? Li'olam rasulam, even after 3 years, meaning if you, the 3 years are over, so then it doesn't mean that the fruit now becomes permissible once that time has gone by. Liolam, right? So now liolam bein ikar hapri, bein hagarinim, bein haklifin. So whether it's the fruit itself, or the seeds, or the shells, for example, klipe, and I gotta skip to page 5 here. Klipe agozim verimonim vanetz shalahem. The gozim rimonim and the nuts and rimonim are pomegranates. Vanetz shalahem, they're blossom, right? Vahazagin vahagarinim shel anavim, as well as the seeds of grapes. Vatemera aser mehem, as well as if you use those grapes within 3 years, if you pour water on it and create some kind of drink from that, that's also going to be a problem. And then vaha Pugim v'atamarim she'ina mivushalim, and then you have, I forgot pugimar, but dates that are not totally done, and grapes shalaku ve'ein nigmru b'vishulin, that weren't completed, all of them are subject to orla, but putter from revai. Okay, and that's going to end up being a big machlokas. But some of these things are subject to orla and not revai. So what is orla and revai? What is orla not revai? What is not orla? So all of these become are significant issues, which will try to stay pretty halacha l'maisa, pretty practical. Here, some of this is not going to be so practical, but we'll try to focus mostly on the practical aspects of this as we plow through this. Okay, so got to stop here. Yishe Koach, I'm finishing another section of Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Chadash, and Mirz Hashem, pick up next week.